This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Thursday's headlines. And Thursday was the final day of the G8 summit in L'Aquila, Italy. And that's where President Obama and the other leaders of the world's most industrialized nations were once again discussing efforts to combat what they perceive as climate change. President Obama in his comments towards the end of the summit saying that global warming is one of the defining challenges of this time.
Ice sheets are melting. Sea levels are rising. Our oceans are becoming more acidic, and we've already seen its effects on weather patterns, our food and water sources, our health, and our habitats.
Over the past couple of days, the leaders of the G8 have been working together and trying to strike agreements on just how much they'll cut carbon output as well as other emissions in order to reduce emissions drastically, even as much as 80% by the year 2050. They've also been trying to arm twist developing nations like China and Russia, which have no incentive right now to put curbs on their own output as they reach a higher level of economic output. But President Obama still says he thinks countries are making progress on the issue of climate change.
While we don't expect to solve this problem in one meeting or one summit, I believe we've made some important strides forward.
The president says it's important for everyone to get on board for the world's climate to improve, but he says the United States must set the world standard.
Developed countries, like my own, have a historic responsibility to take the lead.
The president says he doesn't believe one has to choose economic prosperity or environmental responsibility. He says it's possible to have both.
There is no contradiction between environmentally sustainable growth and robust economic growth.
Not true, according to those strongly critical of the president's approach to the issue of climate change, especially his endorsement of the recently approved legislation in the House of Representatives known as cap and trade, which critics call a massive energy tax and job-killing legislation, particularly in the industrial and manufacturing sectors of our economy. For more information on this, head to worldnetdaily.com. Check out the interview with David Vitter, the senator from Louisiana, who's also a member of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. He says there's no consensus whatsoever on the science behind this, and he also says that this legislation, which is now making its way through the Senate, is also extremely dangerous for our economic health. You can also find that interview at dateline.radioamerica.org and radioamerica.org. Also at the G8 summit, powers there have given Iran until September to come to a negotiating table to discuss the nation's nuclear intentions. French President Nicolas Sarkozy says the situation with Iran would be reviewed at the much larger G20 meeting of developed and developing nations to be held in Pittsburgh in September. Sarkozy said on Wednesday, quote, if there is no progress by then, we will have to make decisions, unquote. Those decisions could lead to tougher sanctions. Iran has rejected any suggestion that it meet with other nations to discuss nuclear technology that Tehran insists is only being created to generate electricity. However, the G8 issuing no punishment for Iran for failing to meet that September deadline. Elsewhere on the international stage, letters by the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee and other members of the panel say CIA Director Leon Panetta told Congress last month that senior CIA officials have concealed significant actions and misled lawmakers repeatedly since 2001. Exactly what actions Panetta disclosed to the House Intelligence Committee on June 24th is unclear, but Committee Chairman Sylvester Reyes of Texas said the CIA outright lied in one case, saying, quote, these notifications have led me to conclude that this committee has been misled, has not been provided full and complete notifications, and at least in one case was affirmatively lied to. He wrote that in a letter to Michigan Congressman Peter Hoekstra, the committee's senior Republican. A copy of the letter was obtained by the Associated Press, actually before it was received by Congressman Hoekstra. Hoekstra on Thursday called the letter, quote, one of the most bizarre episodes in politics that I've seen in my time here in Washington. He went on to say it looks like they're trying to work on the political equation. Hoekstra says they're not trying to foster a bipartisan consensus on national security. So far, we've heard nothing directly from CIA Director Leon Panetta on this matter. But again, go online to check out my interview with Congressman Hoekstra and hear his strong rebuke of the Democrats' handling of this issue, in which he says ruins CIA employee morale and threatens our national security. On the domestic front today, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says there's no need for a second economic stimulus package, at least not yet. She says we need time to make sure the first one's doing something.
Right now, I believe that we have much more to gain from seeing through the first stimulus.
But Pelosi says she would be open to passing certain legislation to help alleviate the negative impacts of this recession.
I am a proponent for bringing up a full transportation bill, which is a great jobs bill. At some point, we may have to do something on the extension of unemployment benefits.
There was a distinct decline in the number of workers filing new claims for jobless benefits last week. However, the Labor Department points out the drop was amplified by seasonal adjustments mainly connected with fewer than expected layoffs in the automotive sector. Initial claims for state unemployment insurance for the week ending July 4th came in at 565,000, a decrease of 52,000 from the previous week's revised figure. More on the stimulus now. Areas of the country that supported President Obama in the 2008 presidential election are being paid back with billions of dollars in federal aid. USA Today reports counties that supported Obama last year received twice as much money per person from the administration's $787 billion economic stimulus package than those counties that voted for Obama's Republican rival, Senator John McCain. The USA Today analysis of government disclosure and accounting records shows the money is being spent to repair military bases, improve public housing, and help students pay for college. The White House disputes the numbers, with Press Secretary Robert Gibbs saying, quote, "There's no politics at work when it comes to spending for the recovery." Speaker Pelosi also addressing the health care debate, which may be headed towards a vote by the end of the month. Speaker Pelosi talked about the issue, first of all, today, of taxing health care benefits.
We will not be taxing benefits, health care benefits, in any legislation that comes from the House.
But what House Democrats are pushing is an idea of taxing the rich yet again in order to help pay for a system that could cost at least $1.5 trillion. Those being taxed would probably be individuals making more than $200,000 per year or couples making north of $250,000 per year. Speaker Pelosi says the middle class and small businesses have been hurting due to health care costs, and this legislation needs to get done.
It's just not feasible for a family to sustain that kind of cost, and that's why our bill is a middle income, a middle class initiative.
But if it's so great, why don't you try it? That's the challenge to congressional Democrats from Louisiana Republican Congressman John Fleming. He says if Democrats are so excited about the public option and having government be the provider of coverage for millions of Americans, he challenges members of Congress to drop their cushy health care coverage and try the public option.
I have introduced House Resolution 615 with a number of co-sponsors that simply says that if you vote for a government-run health care option, you agree to choose government-run health care for yourself and your family.
As of right now, according to the current legislation, that wouldn't even be possible because members of Congress wouldn't even be permitted to try the public option. A major mea culpa from California Congressman Henry Waxman today, the chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, who came under fire in recent days for suggesting Republicans don't want what's good for the country, says he apologizes.
I think it's the Republican frustration that's led them to want to oppose things, and it was my frustration because I want bipartisanship
right.
in order to get things done. But I think it's like saying, and you did a minute ago, I like the CIA because I'm a patriotic American.
Right.
Well, that means if anybody's critical of the CIA, they're not patriotic.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't want to say the Republicans are rooting against the country because
right.
I don't believe that. So I apologize for any inference that along those lines.
Waxman made that statement on MSNBC's Morning Joe. Also on Capitol Hill today, major and growing concerns in Congress about drug-related border violence and the rise of Mexican drug cartels. In a House hearing, lawmakers called it a deepening national security problem for this country. New York Democrat Adolphus Towns was chairman for the hearings.
Almost daily, reports from Mexico depict killings, acts of torture, and kidnapping. And it is getting worse.
Members on both sides of the aisle very worried about it. Massachusetts Democratic Congressman John Tierney cited the ongoing demand for drugs in this country, as well as the now disproven theory that the illicit flow of guns from this country into Mexico is a major part of the problem.
We can't hope to quell the violence that has gripped border towns and cities. Violence that threatens the stability of the Mexican government and the safety of our own citizens on the southern border if we do not halt the flow of arms into Mexico.
California Republican Congressman Brian Bilbray says it's very important for the U.S. to support a very courageous leader in Mexico, President Felipe Calderon.
We've got to throw aside our disagreements with Mexico and work with him now, because we either fight this battle on Mexican soil and win it, or we're going to be fighting it on American soil at a much higher cost.
And finally, Illinois authorities continue to investigate an alleged scheme among cemetery workers to dig up graves and dump the remains so that burial plots could be resold. Up to 300 bodies are thought to have been affected by the crime at Burr Oak Cemetery, which is a fixture in Cook County's African-American community. Four workers at the cemetery near Chicago face a felony charge of dismembering a human corpse. Authorities say the crimes show a lack of respect for the families of those buried and reburied there. Federal charges are also possible against those involved. That's a look at Thursday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.